Okay, well, that was a clip from the wonderful Black Sabbath during the Ronnie James Dio years. What a great vocalist he was. Not to take anything away from Ozzy, because love Ozzy too. I was going to, in this podcast, talk about a different topic, but in light of recent events that have happened, and this is just sort of another in a long series of things we have from time to time, I want to talk about people's behaviors and responsibility for them and the so-called media influence, because I know sooner or later, you know, the dreaded, oh my God, if you hadn't been, you know, showing a Wrigley's commercial, we wouldn't have had 4,000 people break into Wrigley's gum shop stealing, you know, Wrigley's gum wrapper and shooting people because you'd ran out of change to pay for it. So, obviously I'm being facetious. I think we all know what I'm talking about here. What most of you may not know is that this goes back, has a very, very, very long history that goes back to, you know, people wanting to censor what other people read and see and hear. Many of you have probably heard stories of Nazi Germany, you know, and folks burning books that were not acceptable to the government to keep their influence away from people. So this notion that somehow the media can control what we do and influence behavior in significant ways has been a myth. Yes, myth, he says again loudly, that has been perpetrated upon the public for many, many, many years. Now, I'm not trying to say that folks can't be influenced by what they hear or see, but ultimately we're all responsible for our own behavior. And when you see folks going to extremes because they read something that was fantasy literature, or they read something that wasn't fantasy literature and they got inspired by other criminals to do criminal acts, or they heard a lyric in a song or whatever, or saw a play or whatever, you know, then obviously those folks are in the vernacular of the South. You know, them boys ain't right, you know, or them gals ain't right, depending on who it is. But unfortunately, most antisocial acts seem to be committed by males, who are certainly overrepresented in the conduct disordered and acting out categories of the infamous DSM, which I talked about at pretty good length on our last set of podcasts on addictions. And that's absolutely true. Males in general are pretty much overpopulated in the DSM and the acting out categories when compared to their female counterparts. But this notion of folks, you know, behavior being caused by, not so much influenced as much as one would say caused by, external sources is really, in my opinion, hogwash, complete and total and utter. You know, and all you have to do is go see a good Shakespeare tragedy. You know, everybody that sees Hamlet and Macbeth and King Lear, you know, doesn't want to go out and poison people and murder people and cut people up and, you know, run around seeing imaginary daggers in their hands making soliloquies about, you know, out, out, damn it, Spot, life is but a poe player, if you're in the South. Sorry, Will, I know that was a massacring of your famous scene there. But, I mean, think about it. Seriously, you know, but this stupid notion has been around since, you know, eons ago, you know, when folks, you know, in Germany, as I mentioned earlier, didn't want folks reading certain books or possessing certain books or pieces of artwork because they influenced people. This also goes back in this country, you know, back in the McCarthy era and maybe even before, where folks, you know, didn't want, in schools, didn't want certain people reading things like Huck Finn because it portrayed, you know, whites and blacks together and all this kind of crazy stuff. So certainly this is not a new phenomenon by any stretch of the imagination. This sort of idea that somehow people are marionettes and can be pulled and yanked and danced around in any direction through almost anything has been a long-held belief. And this also goes back to, you know, musically, this goes back to things back in the day of rockabilly and, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis and Chuck Berry, where, you know, folks didn't, certain white disc jockeys wouldn't play that kind of music because it was quote-unquote black music, you know, and you know, had all the segregation days, and you know, they didn't want that music played because it encouraged, you know, white people to dance, you know, and to get in the boogie woogie mode, and somehow that might, I guess, turn them into, you know, African Americans or something, or it might make them, you know, to bring the races closer together or some foolishness. I mean, it was crazy, but you know, that or incite people to sexual gratification, which is why in the olden days they wouldn't film Elvis below the waist, because of all the gyrations he were doing were considered too sexual and obscene, and oh my God, it might move young ladies and men to lewd and illicit and immoral behaviors. Why, riot, oh my stars! You know, I mean, come on, people. it's just amazing to me. And it's sort of the bad rap that hard rock and heavy metal has had since day one, so the fact that movies like Batman or Silence of the Lambs or, you know, any of that kind of stuff gets bad press when people see those kind of movies and are inspired by certain characters or scenes in the movies. You know, this is definitely a throwback to the old school days. I mean, even during the days, most of you remember or know Charles Manson and, you know, the Manson Tate LaBianca murders and, you know, the Manson family and all that kind of story. I mean, one of Manson's cited delusional belief systems, and we all know that the guy's, you know, crazy as hell. I mean, and that's not my clinical diagnosis. Obviously, he has a lot of other clinical diagnoses that would translate common sense into crazy as hell. But, you know, this is a guy who claimed that the Beatles wrote the song Helter Skelter off the White Album. And it, what really was, you know, messages to him telling him about, you know, the race war that was coming up between white and black people. And that was what sort of inspired him to go out and essentially kill these people, because when the race war wasn't happening, he set the murder scene up to make it, you know, appear like somehow black extremists had done this, you know, murders on these rich people and these famous people. Sharon Tate was an actress at the time, and Rosemary Bianca was, you know, pretty wealthy folks, and they weren't going into the ghettos killing people. They were going into the rich, you know, folks' areas. And this also got translated, you know, years later during all this crazy PMRC crap, you know, which I jokingly refer to that name of that organization as, you know, people with mental retardation, you know, and castration-oriented syndromes. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, these guys wanted to censor lyrics and eventually did get, you know, warning labels put on CDs and records, you know, which really only did the opposite. It only encouraged kids to buy more, you know, records that their parents deemed inappropriate, you know, back to the old lyrics of John Fogerty, you know, in the bootleg song where he says, you know, what is it? Susie may give you some cherry pie, but you know that ain't no fun. You'd rather steal it and eat it on the run. You know, bootleg. I mean, come on. You know, we already know the forbidden fruit's the thing that people desire the most. And so if you tell them, oh my God, don't listen to this, it's going to turn you into a frog, what are they going to do? All right, they're going to start to get green paint and listen to the music, right, and start going, ribbit, ribbit. Come on. So, but all this craze about the PMRC, about all this music being horrible and terrible, and all these images are going to encourage kids to sexually abuse their spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends, and, you know, it misogynizes women and all this crazy crap. And now, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, it's never been about, you know, it's been about rebelliousness and kind of teenage angst, even if you're not a teenager. And, you know, people kind of wanting to be iconoclast and go against the grain. It's not about, you know, could it be Satan, you know, or any of this kind of crap. But it's ridiculous. I mean, but, you know, most of you probably remember, and if you don't remember, you didn't know, or you're too young to know, then here's a good education lesson for you. Because, I mean, part of what happened in the 80s with all this heavy metal stuff and the PMRC and people blaming other folks for, you know, lyrical content, you know, is people, you know, they wanted, censorship was horrible at the time. And, you know, the Two Live Crew, the rap group couldn't get their stuff out because it was very, you know, so-called, quote-unquote, obscene. Which, by the way, in case any of you who don't know, there was a sort of a joke comedy act at the time that came up as a direct result of this called Two Live Jews. And the name of the recording, which was obviously a parody on the Two Live Crew recording, which was, I think, As Nasty As They Want to Be. I think that was the name of the recording. The Two Live Jews recording was As Kosher As They Want to Be. So the whole thing was this rap parody recording that was just absolutely hilarious. And if any of you have not heard it, do yourself a huge favor. It's like getting copies of old Saturday Night Live original show reruns. I mean, the thing will just keep you in stitches. It is incredibly well done. But again, it's a parody. You know, it's something showing how ridiculous it is to try to blame other people for your pathology. But this is the same kind of crap that led people to sue, you know, Ozzy Osbourne for, you know, causing one of their sons or daughters or whatever to commit suicide, their kids to commit suicide because they listened to Suicide Solution. Well, obviously, they weren't very astute metal lyrics listeners because Suicide Solution is about, you know, what a dumbass idea it is to drink and kill yourself with alcohol, and it's sort of a biography that Ozzy does, an autobiography of him, you know, trying to help himself and kind of saying, hey, you know, this is really dumb, this shit that I do. So, I mean, it was in no way, shape, or form glorifying alcoholism. You know, you'd be better off picking off things like AC/DC, Shoot to Thrill, if you're going to go that route, but please don't, because that's all ridiculous. I mean, the same thing that happened to Judas Priest back in the day, where I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, where people were suing them for the same kind of thing. Their kids were listening to Judas Priest records, and you know, they had them in court testifying, and they were playing the record, you know, some of these rock guys' recordings backwards to see if they had any hidden so-called back masking messages in them. And, you know, then all these crazy-ass religious leaders got on board, and, you know, it turned into a circus. But, you know, again, it goes, and that's sort of tied to this thing I talked about last time in the podcast with this disease model of addictions. You know, we love to blame other people for our stuff. You know, we love to blame God. We love to blame diseases. We love to blame TV or radio or music or famous rock or rap artists or, you know, whatever, movies or characters in famous plays. We love to blame somebody else for our crap, and the reality is each and every one of us is totally and completely and utterly responsible for every flipping thing we think, feel, and do, period, end of story. Okay? And I'm sorry, but it's not an author or a songwriter or a publicist or a movie producer or a movie director or whatever, an artist of any genre's responsibility to say to himself or herself, oh, gee, there's some crazy asshole out there who's going to take my work and misinterpret it and use it for nefarious reasons. So I guess I have to put a diaper on David. I can't do the sculptor David, Michelangelo sculptor David, with genitalia because that might encourage some, you know, horny female or some lusty gay guy to go after and have sex with the statue. I mean, and if that sounds ridiculous, thank you. It should sound ridiculous, but it's no more ridiculous than trying to blame these heavy metal lyrics or these rap lyrics or any damn thing else. It's absolutely absurd, right? The responsibility relies with the person, himself or herself. And if you've got a kid too young to understand what's going on, then parents, belly up to the bar of life and do your frickin' J-O-B and talk about the stuff with your kids. Don't just babysit your kids by turning the TV on, or babysit your kids by popping a movie in, or babysit your kids by sticking a CD or whatever, or, you know, Gone with the Wind in their hands or whatever. I'm sorry, do your damn job, right? Monitor your kids, talk with your kids about, you know, and I've alluded to this in an earlier podcast. You're not going to solve anything by forbidding people to do stuff. Much better to know what your kids are watching and listening to. Listen to the music with your kids. Read the lyric. Get copies of the lyric sheets and read them. Think about what the lyrics mean. Ask your kids to discuss them. Talk about the violence they're seeing on TV, you know, and don't just sit around like Emily Latella back on the old Saturday Night Live going, violins on TV. I don't really like those violins. They make pretty music. I mean, come on, guys. You know, talk about what's going on. Don't sit there and just slam stuff, right? It's exciting to see stuff on TV, chase scenes and stuff. I don't think anybody really wants to go out and waste the gas money to rev up their, you know, Camaros or whatever car, muscle car they're going to take out and bump it around the streets of San Francisco chasing bad guys like Harry Callahan, you know, on Sudden Impact or any of those old Dirty Harry movies. I mean, come on. You know, you might as well be suing the makers of those movies are Clint Eastwood, and please don't, because those are fabulous movies, and Clint Eastwood is a great actor, in my personal opinion. You know, but it's the same thing with this video game violence. Oh, you know, we're showing people's heads ripped off and all that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, And don't get me wrong, I don't play those kind of games because I have zero mechanical reasoning skills and I can't do those jumping, shooting, all at one time, you know, character games like Ninja Gaiden or whatever this thing, whatever the latest one is, you know, because I'm not coordinated enough. But if I were, I'd probably do it because I like violence on TV. I like excitement on TV. Why? Because I realize it's not real. It's vicarious, right? It means I'm watching it. And I know it's not real. It's a way to kind of get my observational jollies off, if you will, my thrill-seeking abilities. Because let's face it, listeners, I'm a wussy. And everybody who knows me knows I'm a wussy and a nerd, okay? I don't drive really fast. Well, okay, I don't drive too fast. And I don't drive recklessly. And I don't climb mountains. And I don't do race cars. And I don't do drugs. I'm a completely, totally non-risk-oriented guy. But is there this part of me that likes, you know, loud, obnoxious, heavy metal music? Well, duh. The same reason I like what I call violent classical music, Wagner and Stravinsky, Night on Bald Mountain. And I'm not talking about the pretty stuff. I like that too. You know, or the heavy-duty Bach stuff. I mean, that's the stuff, you know, or the Mussorgsky, Night on Bald Mountain. You know, the Stravinsky, The Rites of String. And dun, 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 dun. I mean, that stuff is cool. It just energizes you the same way like watching a Harry Callahan movie, right? Or listening to Ozzy or seeing a piece of you know, art or whatever, or painting. It's the same thing. It's a vicarious release. It has no reality for me. I love first-person shooter games as long as I don't have to flip characters and dance around. I just want to point a gun and start blowing crap up, okay? I don't want to have to be technical because I'm not technical. I'm a klutz, okay? I'm beyond a klutz. Despite my seeming ability with my fine motor skills on guitar and bass and that sort of thing, which I have to say in all honesty and in all humility, I do pretty well on, I have zero gross motor skills. With my gross motor skills are, as I describe them to most of my people, just that. Gross. they're bad. Okay. So I have no, you know, I don't shoot firearms. I don't, you know, have ninja swords in my collection. If I did, it would be strictly for the art because I love Asian art. I think it's awesome. You know, but everybody does their thing, and they have a responsibility to monitor their stuff. And it's not an artist's responsibility to say to himself or herself, I wonder how many crazy people in the you know, and I use that term loosely, folks, are going to listen to my music or look at my art or read my books or my poetry or see my movies or watch my video games and go out and kill people. I mean, please get a frickin' life and a clue. You know, and all this, and do a lot of these crazy people, a lot of these antisocial people, a lot of these borderlines and narcissists, you know, and people that go out and shoot people and have these crazy cults and, you know, sexually abuse people and do all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, do these folks, you know, use some of that stuff as justification? Well, of course they do. They're trying to obfuscate responsibility. They're trying to deny responsibility. They're trying to blame their crap on somebody else. And some of those people are actually crazy enough to believe that stuff. Okay, but that does not relieve the rest of us schmucks from the responsibility of monitoring our own behaviors. That doesn't obfuscate the rest of the parents in the world's responsibility to raise a kid correctly, to teach a kid, to mentor a kid. And if a kid's, you know, going to be shocked by violence on TV, you know, put controls on the TV. You know, but if a kid's a teenager and you're waiting to teach your kid morals when your kid's 13 or 14, I'm sorry, the horse has already run out of the stable and jumped the fence. You missed the boat, honey. You need to go back and you know, play catch up here. You already screwed your job up. I'm sorry. This stuff should start very, very, very young. Because if you start teaching your kids young the difference in right and wrong, and you monitor their stuff, and you give them opportunities to role model good behaviors in the home, and talk about this as being simple enjoyment and simple vicarious violence or vicarious sex or whatever, and you teach your kids appropriate morals in the home starting really early, okay, it's never too early, and do it at a level at which they can understand and comprehend that's appropriate for their age and developmental level, right? more importantly to their developmental level than their age, because all of us know some folks, including myself, you know, aren't always, their mental and emotional age is not always their chronology age, okay? So chronologically, they may be, you know, 25, and emotionally, they may be 15. So you got to gear it to their emotional age and their intellectual age more than their, you know, physical, biological age. You never forget that. And there's a lot of disorders that have people operating at a much younger developmental brain level and emotional level than their physical age. There's a plethora of them, ADHD being amongst them. So, and I'm not slamming anybody. Again, I'm just describing syndromes, right? So this is a real job for parents to do, and this is why I think parenting is such a big job, and a very, very important job, and an uber responsibility laden job, which is why I don't want it, and which is why I don't have any kids, because I have no intention. That's too much like that nasty, obscene four-letter word that I mentioned on previous podcast. You know, the word work. Oh my God. You know, I don't like working in that regard. I like working doing what I do for a living. I like working playing guitar and getting better. I like working going in the gym and learning new exercises. And I like new recipes and cooking. I'm a pretty good cook, for those of you who don't know. And I really love cooking. It's uber therapeutic for me. So, you know, for me, that's my escape. And I'm good at that stuff. And I don't mind working at doing that stuff. But raising kids and being responsible, oh, no, no. Oh, no, that's way too much nasty work for me. Thank you. And my hat's off to parents who do their job and do it well, and I mean that with every sincere fiber in my body. I don't know how you guys and gals do it, but my hat is absolutely off to you, those of you who do it correctly and do it the way it's quote-unquote supposed to be done and do it with responsibility and do it with fervor and commitment and morals. My hat is off to you. I really, really, honest to God, don't know how you do it. And I get a lot of people who come into my practice bringing their teenagers and young adults in, and they're like, oh, my God, you're so good with my son or daughter. You know, they'll listen to you. And well, yeah, of course I'm good with them. I see them a couple of hours a week, 1 to 3, whatever, hours a week. I go, coochie-coo, aren't you cute? Don't do that shit again. Here's the bad news. Here's the behavior. Here's the consequence. You don't really want to be doing that. You don't want to end up in jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You don't want to end up at Wendy's going, welcome to Wendy's. How would you like your burger and fries cooked? You know, you want to make more money than that. You don't want to end up on the street, you know, snorting coke and having all kinds of crazy, you know, drug-related illnesses and your brain turned to jelly because you did too much meth or whatever, right? You want to live in a decent house in a decent neighborhood. You know, it doesn't have to be a billionaire's house, but it has to be a clean house and a neat house that you're not, you know, getting, you know, Johnny and the Hoods coming and breaking in. And if you're a musician like myself, you want lots of pretty nice, expensive babies. And you can't buy that stuff if you're pissing it away on drugs and alcohol and crazy and doing crazy antisocial stuff like beating the crap out of people every time they look at you funny or going shooting them and stealing stuff and ending up in jail. Okay, bad idea. Well, yeah, I see them for 2 or 3 hours a week and I go, coochie-coo, aren't you cute? Now go home. Parents do the real work. I mean, come on. Let's give you guys and gals credit. You guys do a whole lot of work. And you kids that are listening to this, if you got parented correctly, you really, really, and I say this honest to God, I joke about it, but I'm serious as a heart attack. You really need to go back and thank your parents if they did a good job with you, because that is the hardest job any flipping body on the planet will do, bar none, period, end of story. It is really, really emotionally consuming, physically consuming, time consuming, and as most of you parents know, financially consuming, part that scares me the most probably. So, you know, when these folks want to go out and say, oh, you can't do this, oh, you can't do that, you can't show that on the screen, oh, you can't write about that in the story, oh, we need to ban this, we don't need to do this, oh, you can't listen to this. Well, I'll tell you what, you guys want to start doing that kind of stuff, where do you start? Where do you stop? And that's even the bigger question. You know, what's pornographic to one person is not pornographic to another. You know, in some regard, you know, is Michelangelo's David pornography or is it art? You know, any more than the guy in the 80s that had the exhibit, I can't remember who the artist was, had all the nude males and all the kind of funky dillies that were going on, kind of unusual art, nude stuff going on. I don't remember the exhibit that got all the press about it in Cincinnati, Ohio, where they tried to ban the guy. I'm sorry, I can't remember the artist's name. But you know, that kind of stuff versus do you, you know, take out sexual references and Gone with the Wind, or do you take off, you know, Murder, Death, Kill? I mean, have any of you read Sir Thomas Malory's La Mort d'Arthur, right, The Death of Arthur, which is what the, you know, the Knight and the Round Table things come from, the sanitized version that most of us get, right? You want to see some gross, violent stuff, read La Mort d'Arthur. It's great literature. I love it. I own a copy. It's one of my favorite things, right? But there is no two ways about it. I mean, it talks about heads being hewn in half and brains going everywhere where spears and swords go through helmets. I mean, it is a graphic novel in the sense of the term, blood, guts, gore. It leaves nothing to the imagination, right? So is that pornography or is that great literature and just being descriptive? You know, those people who wanted to ban John Lennon's Imagine because he said in the lyrics, imagine there's no country, imagine no religion. And people went, oh my God, we can't do that. Well, excuse me, where's the pornography in that? I'm not advocating that, don't mishear me. But what I am saying is, you know, that's why we live in a democracy. You know, so we can say what we want, so we have the freedom to say and speak what we want as long as we don't harm other people doing it, right? So, there's nothing violent or pornographic about that. In fact, what John Lennon is talking about is that, is imagine a society that's all in one, you know, goal that they don't have to fight and steal and bitch about, you know, which version of God is right or is there a God or whatever. I mean, that's what he's talking about. He's not, it just amazes me how people will take stuff and pervert it and convert it into stuff that was never intended to do. They did the same thing with rock lyrics all the time. Or they'll look at these, you know, guys that are into metal and gals into metal and go, oh my God, they're wearing all that leather and oh, you know. It's just like, hello. It's no different than the leather jackets of some of the motorcycle clubs. It's an identity thing. It's a we belong thing, right? Any more than the people that, you know, belong to the Moose Club wearing little moose patches. I mean, it's the same deal. It's just we make these sweeping generalizations based on appearance. And we as people, and I can't really speak for the rest of the world, we as Americans are horrible about that. You know, and I'm just as guilty about that as the next guy or gal. So it's not like I'm pointing fingers saying I'm God and perfect because I'm not. You know, I have to fight against my stupid prejudices and stupid ideas every daggum day. But I'm out there fighting myself. I'm not out there deluding myself and telling other people, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't wear a do-rag because you look like, you know, trash, or you can't wear torn jeans because you look like you can't afford real nice jeans. You know, I mean, come on. You know, so who's to say what's art and what's not art? What's expression and what's not expression? You know, you want to talk about influencing people, right? You want to talk about censoring books and movies and stuff, right? What about a book that talks about sleeping with your brother's wife? What about a book that talks about having, you know, hundreds of you know, sexual cohorts, concubines, I think is the correct term, you know, or handmaidens in your home or whatever you want to call them, you know, courtesans if you're Louis the 16th, you know, or whatever. What about a book that talks about, you know, killing people and making war on people and all kind of crazy crap and killing people who don't believe the way you do, right? You want to ban that too? Okay, fine. It's called the Bible. Yeah. You want to talk about violence? You want to talk about sleeping around with people and all kind of crazy stuff and a vengeful God smiting people? And I mean, come on. And again, I'm not slamming any book or books or set of books. I'm just saying when you start editing stuff, when you start doing censorship, which is really what we're talking about, and you start wanting to blame other people for your stuff, you are really opening an incalculably convoluted can of worms. You just are. You know, that's like saying I can't show, you know, young boys in Boys' Life swimming in a swimming hole at a summer camp because some pedophile might get sexually aroused by looking at the pages. And don't laugh because I've had people tell me that before, folks who I was seeing in therapy, obviously. So, you know, everybody is responsible for his or her stuff. That's my bottom line, right? And if we start wanting to blame God or the Bible or Ozzy Osbourne or, you know, any of these movie makers, you know, Martin Scorsese or whatever for this stuff, we are opening a can of worms that won't quit. Because once you start down that slippery slope of what's art or what's freedom of expression versus what's, you know, not good, what's, you know, evil, wicked, mean, and nasty is John K. of Steppenwolf might say in the lyrics of Don't Step on the Grass, old song about legalizing pot back in the day when that was a big hot topic. You know, but where do you stop? You know, there's no end to this stuff. You start saying, okay, well, we don't want to say this because it's bad, so we're going to censor it. You know, it's just like, oh my Lord. I mean, there's no stopping. And what you're really talking about is an abrogation of personal responsibility. Right? This whole 12-step movement, right? As many of you guys may not know, the 12-step movement really comes out of the temperance movement back in the day and women's voter rights, because they're all inexorably intertwined, right? Because the 12-step guys back in the day got on, they were starting this thing, you know, Bill and Bob, you know, got on board with this amendment to ban alcohol. And the reason that came about was because women were tired of their men going out to beer halls and coming back and beating the hell out of them drunk and spending all their money and going with the hookers and the saloons and stuff. And they said, by God, we're going to clean up America. Demon alcohol, okay? We've anthropomorphized something. We've turned this inanimate object, you know, methyl alcohol, into some kind of sentient being with a brain that can now go out and entice men and women, or in this case, mostly men back in the day, you know, to abuse alcohol in horrific ways and become these monsters and come home and rape and beat their wives and have extramarital affairs. I mean, come on. You got to be freaking kidding me. Right? So we're going to just illegalize it. We'll make it illegal. Well, you know how that worked, right? That made, you know, the organized crime people tons of money with bootleggers and all this kind of crazy stuff. Same thing with prostitution. You know, it's just like, hello? Where do you stop? You know, the bottom line is we've got to start looking at ourselves. We have to start taking responsibility for ourselves. If we have people in the society who are unable, or because of some cognitive or emotional or mental defect, quote unquote, or disorder, or they're unwilling because they just don't want to, for whatever reason, to follow basic rules of engagement. You don't go beating the crap out of people. You don't go raping people. You don't go robbing stores. You don't go shooting people because you don't like them, or to steal money from them, or beat the hell out of them just because they're, you know, a different color than yourself, or a different sexual orientation, or a different nationality, you know. And you know, we start overgeneralizing people and coming up with these stupid generalizations about sexual orientation folks, or color of skin folks, or religious folks, or ethnic origin folks, or whatever, right? Just like people have stupid ideas about Americans too. So, you know, we get pummeled with that when we go overseas, go abroad. People have stupid ideas about Americans too. So, you know, we're not the only people that does stupid generalizations in the world. Thank God for small favors. But you know what I'm saying? We've got to start taking responsibility for our stuff. We've got to use what I call common boundary sense. What's an appropriate, responsible boundary? Well, one boundary is you can voice your opinion about something without stopping somebody else from voicing their opinion about it too. Because you know what? Just like me, if you're a guy that likes to open his mouth and say stuff, you have to give other people the same right. You know, one-sided stuff doesn't cut it, right? So you just use what I call common sense, which doesn't seem to be very common anymore, rules of engagement. You know, you don't want your stuff stolen. You don't go out and steal shit from other people. You don't want, you know, you don't want your kids using drugs as a parent. You teach your kids from an early age, and you don't role model behavior of drugs in your home, especially when kids are too young to know the difference, because obviously there's an age at which certain modeling behavior is much more influential before people get abstract reasoning and can think for themselves, which is why you have parents teaching them stuff, which is why I go back to this is a parent's responsibility to teach their kid early, early, early about decision-making skills and appropriate boundaries and appropriate ethics and morals, whatever that might be for your culture and family or whatever. And at the same time, giving the person a sense of personal obligation and responsibility to his or her fellow human being, whatever and whomever they may be. And that's really the bottom line. And we seem to have lost that along the way. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if that's just something we've always had, but we've had a better, you know, lid on our ids. I don't know what the deal is. And I certainly don't have any answers. I'm not trying to say I'm this, you know, guru with all the answers sitting on a mountaintop. throwing pearls to swine, because I sure as heck don't have all the answers. But I do know that trying to limit stuff and putting your hands over your head and putting covers over your eyes and clicking your heels together going, there's no place like home, there's no place like home, is not going to make the boogeyman go away, because the boogeyman is us. We need to monitor our own behavior. And as parents, you need to teach your kids appropriate behaviors from inappropriate behaviors, and you need to role model them as much as you can in the home when your kids are too young to make those kind of decisions for themselves, so that they have a consistency, so that their eyes and brains and ears hear you doing the same thing that you're expecting them to do. This is one reason why I get so PO'd at parents who are, you know, cigarette-aholics, and they get all, you know, miffed and bent out of shape with their kids becoming, you know, pot users or alcoholics or whatever. And I'm like, excuse me, but you're a drug addict just like your kid is. You really don't have the right to say anything. I'm sorry. You know, you just don't. You know, you can't be a cigarette-aholic and then be like all shocked and, you know, personally affronted on a moral level that your kid's a drug addict, because you're a drug addict. Let's be honest, you know, and people have heard me say this before, but it's one of my big, big, big pet peeves, right? What drug kills more than three times all of the drugs combined every day? That's right. Cigarettes. Nicotine. Not coke, not crack, not alcohol, not meth. Cigarettes. Three times the amount of drugs combined that kill people every day, and that includes alcohol, times three, cigarettes still beat them. Okay? So don't even go there with me. You know, we have got to be consistent in our role modeling as parents with little kids, and then part of that is we need to teach people personal responsibility. And then we need to hold people accountable. We don't need to try to blame our stuff on other people, whether it's other folks, whether it's movies, music, books, athletes, rock stars, rap stars, or whatever. Take a little pride in yourself. Take a little personal responsibility for your own stuff and your own behavior. Censorship is not going to save you. You can't possibly imagine every scenario and every situation that could possibly get anybody with a funky brain to think this behavior is appropriate. And if you've got a kid who's foobarred, or you are an adult who's foobarred, don't play it off. Don't blame your parents. Get help. Don't just try to act like you can manage it, right? And some people can manage minor stuff, and we all have minor stuff, and I'm not trying to say we don't, and I'm certainly no exception to that. But I'm not looking for anybody else to blame my stuff on either. And it's my responsibility to fix or to manage to the best of my ability that which I have. It's not anybody else's responsibility, right? Just because I have a sleep disorder and I don't go to bed until 5 in the morning or get up till 1:30 in the afternoon, you know, I can't expect to hold down a real, regular, quote-unquote, normal person's job. I can't expect, you know, Target or, you know, McDonald's to go, oh, that's okay, baby. Just show up at 3 o'clock and you can work from 3 till 9. We'll accommodate you. Now, if they're nice enough to do that, woohoo for them. But you know what? They're doing me a favor. Right, that's the bottom line, right? Because the majority of the world operates, you know, on this 9-to-5 schedule or some reasonable facsimile thereof, right? So if you look at minorities in terms of, you know, people with, and I don't mean, you know, I mean that in the broader sense of the term minority. Like, I'm in the minority. I'm a minority with this sleep disorder. You know, the vast majority of folks don't have this sleep disorder. It's more prevalent than you think, but I'm still nowhere near being in the majority of folks, okay? So if you're in the minority, whatever that is, it's up to your butt to adapt to the majority. It's not up to the majority to adapt to you. Right, that's the first mistake we make in America, in my personal opinion, is we try to accommodate too many minority folks. You know, and I don't expect anybody to accommodate me. You know, I just don't. I don't expect anybody to abuse it, but reality is I'm not getting up and working a job, showing up at a hospital or any place else at 9 o'clock in the morning and functioning like a real person. I'm just not, right? It would be tantamount to somebody going to bed at 11 o'clock and getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning going, woo, and being all happy and functional. That ain't me. You know, or to quote Zimmerman, better known to you guys as Bob Dylan, no, 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 it ain't me, babe, right? And it's not. There is no way I'm going to be functional. I can't do sleep deprivation. I'm a moron on sleep deprivation. I'm a moron sometimes when I'm not, but I'm really a moron when I've had no sleep. It's just, it's bad, 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 bad. And I'm not a nice guy either, which is even worse, right? So being mean kind of stinks, so that's not a good thing either. But I don't expect people to accommodate that, you know. Now, obviously, if you're, you know, you're playing in my ballpark, you're wanting a favor for me, that's a different issue. But if you're hiring me for a job, right, yeah, if you can accommodate my schedule, that's great. But if you're paying me and you need to be to do a certain thing at a certain time, like teach a class at 9 in the morning, and that's when the class is offered, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to teach the class. I have to miss out on that opportunity. I can't expect you to reroute the class to, you know, accommodate my funky-ass sleep disorder. That's just not how this world works. And that's the problem we have in our society, in my personal opinion, is we have all these, you know, groups of folks who want everybody to accommodate them. And I'm sorry, that's not how this works, right? Democracy means rule of the many, not rule of the few, not rule of the militant few. It means rule of the many, okay? And I ain't many. So that's the bottom line for this. Same thing with people. If you have a psych disorder or set of disorders that keeps you recognizing appropriate from inappropriate behavior, it's not up for us to adapt to you. It's not up for us to censor movies and books and TV shows and songs and works of art. It's up to you to manage your own pathology. And I really see this as an issue of personal responsibility or not. And that's really what we're talking about here. And I think it's high time. It's way beyond shelf expiration date for us as a people, particularly as Americans. Again, I can't speak for anybody else because I haven't lived in other countries long enough to make generic statements. But I can tell you, having lived here most of my life, we do a really crappy job in general. Some of us don't, but a lot of us do a really crappy job of owning our own stuff, and we need to start doing it. We need to start taking our power back, our personal responsibility and power back. I said that about the addiction stuff. That's true of life in general. Another four-letter word. Gee, imagine that. We need to take total and utter responsibility, because if we don't, somebody else is going to do it for us. And if we're waiting for other people to do it, we may be waiting a long time. And besides that, we're inconveniencing other people if we expect other people to adapt their schedules to fit us, whether it's censoring their lyrics or changing the time of a class or whatever. It's just not reality. It's not rational. It's not polite. It's not appropriate. It's not responsible. It's not respecting other people's boundaries or our own. Because you know what? If we don't respect other people's boundaries, we sure as hell can't expect them to respect ours, can we? So to all of you listeners out there, take hold of your own crap, maximize your potential, claim your power, use what you're good at to minimize or obfuscate or get around or fix what's not so good about yourself. Be honest with yourself about your limits and your strengths and weaknesses. Go for the gusto with the great stuff you can get. But always remember, you don't live in isolation any more than I do or anybody else does. We have other people to take into consideration. We have a responsibility to a society to work together and to try to do things to maximize cooperation and community, and to not wait for other people to change for us to feel better or to modify our behavior. It's not up to other people. It's up to us to take responsibility for our stuff and to then role model in a good way appropriate behavior for other people, especially for those who are too young to do it for themselves because of their cognitive sophistication. Or if you've got mental disorders, what a great way to role model for somebody who maybe has a harder time doing it and teaching them the value and the gift of personal responsibility. Because with responsibility, and you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again at the sake of being repetitious, you can't have freedom without personal responsibility. Because if you don't have personal responsibility, you can't control your life. If you can't control your life, you're not free to do a damn thing. No control, no freedom, no responsibility. You want freedom? Well, tough toenails. You got to belly up to the bar of life and do that nasty four-letter word work on yourself, and take charge of your life and control of your life and your own destiny. It's a lot of work, but honest to God, it's worth it. And I know that if you got raised by good parents, or parents did a good job or did the best they could do and did a pretty damn good job on you like mine did with me, then you need to be thanking them, and you need to be grateful, and you need to pass it on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys later.